good Monday evening and welcome to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton, broadcasting from the nation's capital, Ottawa's only Irish radio programme. And we're also streaming live on the internet at www.thegaelichour.ca. That's all one word. And on that website, you'll find that we have archives, which are all the previous programs that we have broadcast on Monday nights. And they're going back to 2005. And we have the music program, that's Tuesday night program. We leave that up there for 1 week. And Mary will be here with you tomorrow night on the music program. If you want to grab the program on a podcast, you can now go onto the website and click on the podcast link, and it'll give you the XML file that you pop into your iTunes. There's a calendar up there as well, and the calendar is filling you in on some of the events that are going on. Dancing at Lunasa continues its run down at the Little Theatre, and certainly well worth going to. And Mary will have a pair of tickets to give away for that tomorrow night, and that will be for Wednesday evening's performance. So stay tuned and tune in tomorrow night for Mary, and you might be the lucky winner of a pair of tickets for Dancing at Lunasa. The other event that's coming up on Wednesday, February 6th, and also on Thursday, February 7th, Drum will be down at the National Arts Centre, and that is the coming together of four cultures, Aboriginal, Black, Celtic and Acadian, and it's described as in a heart-pumping spectacle of music, dance, rhythm and song. If you want a pair of tickets for that, you're going to have to send me an email, and my email address is austin@thegaelichour.ca. And if your name is drawn from the hat on that one, Mary will announce that tomorrow night. And she also will have tickets to give away for that tomorrow night. So lots of giveaways tomorrow night. Mary will, I'm sure, be very busy. So do tune in. And as I said, the other thing that's ongoing is John P. Kelly's production of Molly Sweeney. That's continuing its run up at the Ottawa School of Speech and Drama. And very much worth going to also. And those links are on the website. And of course, between Wednesday and Saturday, down in the Irish Village, there's always live music. And I know Joe August is down there this week, and the Paddingtons. Of the regular events, of course, on Monday, you have Cultus with Irish language and dance classes at Blessed Sacrament over at 194 Fort Avenue. And on Tuesday, between 11 and 2, it's the Irish Society sponsored drop-in. And on Wednesday evening, set dance classing, and that's classes, and that's at Villa Marconia, 1026 Baseline Road. And of course, the other thing that's coming up this Friday is there is an Irish Ceilidh dance, and that is at the Lion Street Mission, Montgomery Legion Hall at 330 Kent Street, actually. So that's the Montgomery Legion Hall, 330 Kent Street. There is a Ceilidh going on there also. So tonight what we're going to share with you is I got to talk to Michael Lyons. Michael Lyons produced a video on Old Ireland, which is farming practices in Ireland in the 40s and the 50s. And it's a double DVD. And actually, there's a link on my website if you want to read about it and maybe even purchase it. So you can go on the website on that. And on Friday last, TG4 reran the program that they recorded on the opening of the Gaeltacht down in Aaronsville, and I was able to grab some of that and share that with you. And then I have Pat Troy, who is from Kilcormac in County Offaly, who has been broadcasting a radio program somewhat like this down in the DC area for the last 35 years. And I met Pat a week or two ago when I was in Washington, and then I gave him a phone call and we had a chat. So I'll be sharing that with you in the latter half of the program. But for now, sit back and enjoy Michael Lyons. You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. And just before Christmas, there was a DVD produced in Ireland entitled Old Ireland. And it is, part one is depicting rural Ireland in the late 40s and the early 50s. And this video was made in South Roscommon and East Galway, which is my home territory around Banlasloe. And part two, it continues on to depict farming life later on in the late 40s and early 50s. And the producer of this video is Michael Lyons. And Michael Lyons is from Clannine in Crea, just outside Banlasloe. And Michael Lyons is on the phone with me here. Michael Lyons, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Thank you very much, Austin.
A little bit of background on yourself, Michael. You're from just outside Banlasloe.
I was born in Tapmaconnell, in just outside Banlasloe in South Roscommon, on a small farm. And my father used to supplement the farm. He used to do a bit of hire work, first with horses, ploughing and cutting hay and different jobs like that for the neighbours and the people in the parish. And then later on, we got a tractor. Now, I left school at 12 and a half to stay at home to work on the farm that was the done thing at the time with a lot of people. I wasn't the only one that did that. And I was always very interested in this kind of work on farming. But later on, I wasn't the eldest in the family, and of course the eldest stays at home and the rest move on. I went and served my time in Bannisloe, in Barrington's garage. You probably know where that is, just across from the Garda barracks. And I went and had my own garage business in years after. But I was always interested in farming, and I wanted to record the way farming was done in that period, particularly in the 40s, which was the transition in Ireland from the horse to the tractor. And that's why I started to do what I'd done.
So, Michael, did you collect up equipment and to just out of a hobby, or did you build up a store of what at this stage would be antique farming equipment?
I spent 10 years collecting. I waited until my family were old enough to look after themselves, but during that time, I spent 10 years collecting stuff, and old tractors and farm machinery, and collecting the stuff for the store in them. And then I gave up the business I was in. I sold the business just particularly to make this, video, which would be, and which is the only professional and authentic record now of farming in Ireland in that period. And I travelled this country from Mallinhead to Mission Head looking for stuff, and the same with England. I even flew to Newark in New Jersey one time and drove to Pennsylvania looking for stuff for two particular American tractors. This was back in 1997, when you couldn't find anything on the internet like now.
Right.
And I brought home all the stuff to repair a John Deere and a Farm Oil Cub, which were in it. I brought it back on the plane from America. And when I gave up working the garage, I spent 4 years trying to restore everything. It's a delicate, slow job, and I had three people working with me doing this. And coming up near the turn of the millennium, I knew I'd never make it on my own, so I started borrowing stuff. And museums gave me some stuff, but even what I got out of the museums had to be restored. You'd have to take them all apart and put them in working order. This took 4 years after I 10 years collecting.
So you must have found, when you were going the length and breadth of Ireland, that some of the farmers were happy to have you take what they would have considered the scrap off the farm.
They were delighted to. It was very easy to get the stuff, but it would be in very bad condition.
Yes.
And unfortunately, a lot of it had disappeared and gone to what we call Hammond Lane.
The foundry.
For scrapping, and unfortunately I collected up, and now it's a huge thing in Ireland at the moment. Collecting is very, very big. And but when I started to do the video, it was all different, and it was nearly impossible to get parts for anything. Now that has all changed, the whole thing has changed. I finished making this video in 2000 and brought it out in December 2001. That's when the actual video came out, but the DVD didn't come out till just before Christmas, as you said there.
Right. So when we'll progress on to how you got onto the shooting of the video part of it, but prior to getting to that, I presume at this stage, have you established a museum?
No, I haven't. I have stuff everywhere, and I wouldn't have even the amount of sheds to hold the stuff myself. I have five reapers and binders. I have three thrashing mills, just alone.
And is that open to the public?
No, I have it in. We're hoping that sometime we'll be able to do something about this, but at the moment they're in sheds belong to everybody else. I have about five hay sheds full of stuff in other people's places, including in my brother's place, and some in my own place, and some in neighbour's place. And a man gave us a farm that had never been modernized very much. He gave it to us for 2 years to do the video. And a lot of the stuff is still there in sheds at his place. This man had a beautiful, you have seen it, a beautiful setting for doing the video.
Well, the scenery and the setting is just stunning.
Yes.
It certainly kind of gives that feeling of homesickness and nostalgia.
Yes.
So then the video itself, you said about you established the theme that you wanted to put through on the video and set around about producing the movie.
I did. I see. I would know all the people in the five parts around, not alone in one. and would have worked in all their houses at some time when I was younger, because I used to go out with the tractor and that, cutting hay and cutting corn and so on and so forth, like ploughing, whatever was going on, you know. And we have a great bog area around Ballinasloe, you know, where there was a great, as we called in that times, and a lot of people would understand the term, the mehel, where everyone went to help everyone else. And of course, we were a beautiful turf cutting scene in the video.
That's right.
And I knew the people that had the knowledge to do this right. So they were really handpicked. And we got the right people together, and we spent 2 years actually doing the actual. I got a professional cameraman. Everything has been done professional. And he recorded, and of course we got Joe Burke, the great accordion player from East Galway, from Loughrea, to do the background music on it. And the man that's narrated, Lee McInumber, used to read the news when RTE started first in Ireland. He read the news for 11 years, and he did the narration on it. And we have wonderful letters from all over the world, actually, people praising both the video, the music, and the narration.
So, Michael, for something like this, just based on what you've told me so far, between the collection of the equipment and the gathering of it and coming across to the US, shipping stuff back, getting a professional film crew, etc., etc., this whole project must have cost a fortune.
Well, it was before we went into the Eurozone, and I spent 200,000 in Irish money, which would be roughly €250,000 now.
And were you able to get any assistance from any government department or any heritage groups for
anything like this? I did this all on my own. The only thing is that I met a very, very nice bank manager. That was a great help to me, and only for him it wouldn't be done either, because I had to borrow a lot of the money.
I'm sure you
had. I was just after rearing six of a family. And when they were able to work for themselves, I started this project. But I'm quite happy I done it, and it's working very well. It's the feedback we're getting from everywhere is fantastic, and it's selling very, very well.
So between the video and the DVD, given that you launched the video in 2001, you say, and the DVD just before Christmas this year, how have they been received, and are you getting some, at least some recompense and some reward
yes,
for your investment?
I'm very happy with the way everything is going, and we have three national papers this year alone has written about it. And there's a lady in America called Judy Enright that's written extensively about this in America as well, and it's going very well in America. And that, in fact, this lady was so impressed that she came over here to meet us. She's a freelance reporter living in Boston, and she has written in Chicago papers, Boston papers, and New York papers about it. Everything is going very well, but three national papers wrote about it even just before Christmas here, and we have done several programs in the last year alone. I have done 10 radio programs, but this is something you have to keep at the whole time. To let people know about it, it's out there.
And hopefully we can make this available to Canada and the Ottawa area and Canadian libraries and everywhere else in the near future. It would certainly be a tremendous asset to any library and anyone that wanted to put something like this into their video library.
At the moment here in Ireland, over 1,300 national schools have bought it.
Right.
And they're showing it as a social history. And University College Dublin, University College Galway, and University College Cork and Limerick have also bought it. And I have spoken recently to a man, he's a lecturer in the Faculty of Agriculture in UCD, John Connolly, his name, a Galway man actually, from Kinvara. And it was he came to me, I used to go to the ploughing to sell at the All-Ireland Ploughing Championship. And he was absolutely very impressed in it. And he actually bought six copies of the video at the time to put into the library and that I could give out to load out to students. And everybody, I have letters from all over the world, sorry, including Liam Neeson.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He got it in America and wrote me a beautiful letter. It's in his own handwriting, actually saying how good it was. And we have, I would have boxes and boxes of letters from people. From all over the place, and everybody is very, very happy with it, because it's very professionally done, and it's authentic, as you know, because you have seen it.
Indeed, and as you say, it relates to a time that, and farming practices that for many people now are distant memories. And it's not just the farming practice in itself, it is the whole ethos of people interacting with each other and sharing in the labor of the land.
Exactly.
And it's beautifully captured.
Yes, and that is all gone, and that's all changed, of course. In fact, younger farmers are saying to me now, they watch the video, you must have a great time then. Now farming can be a lonely job enough. You're just there on your own with a tractor. And but that wasn't the way back in the 40s. And even down to cutting the turf and everything, the way the neighbours all got together and done everything, it's even the younger people in Ireland are saying to me, you know, it's great that this has been recorded, otherwise it was all lost.
Right. Well, Michael Lyons, thank you very much indeed for putting all your effort into the production of this video. As I say, it was certainly fantastic, and it was most enjoyable to sit and watch it, and it conjured up memories for me, particularly around the Banlasloe area. And thank you for taking the time to come and talk to me here on the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM in Ottawa.
Thank you very much, Arthur.
Oh, how lovely to be on the shores of Loch Ree, on a beautiful midsummer's morning, looking over the lake as the waters do break by the hills in the county Roscommon. I left from my home in the town of Athlone on my way to the Three Jolly Pigeons. It was near Glasson Town, on the road I sat down, I looked over the beautiful Shannon. Loch Ree, oh Loch Ree, where the three counties meet, Longford, Westmeath and Roscommon. As I strolled on her banks by the heather and peat, there the memories I've never forgotten. When I went far away to work amongst timber and concrete, I must name me a man for to follow life's span. I forsook the dear place of my homeland. If God grants me grace, I'll return to the place when the sunset of life has come o'er me. Once again on these shores, like a bird my heart soars as I gaze on the beauty around me. Loch Ree, oh Loch Ree, where the three counties meet, Longford, Westmeath and Roscommon. As I stroll round her banks by the heather and peat, they're the memories I've never forgotten. Loch Ree, oh Loch Ree, where the three counties meet, Longford, Westmeath and Roscommon. As I stroll round her banks by the heather and peat, they're the memories I've never forgotten.
T.T. Carr repeated the program they did on the opening of the Aaronsville Gaeltacht earlier this year, and here's an extract from that program.
Tetis a galagic a parson to Gaeltacht Limister Gaelic a Gaeltacht agus sin a Gaeltacht dúchas a chutagan eich o a taffi fwy laadja agus yn sin loch na Gaelic a tîm ymwyd yn a Gaeltacht i anieir yn ymwyl ffeistio yn yr ymwyl a clia a ta partach a Gaeltacht a togol rodi mi sin agus sin a cedwys a galadja sy'n dimensiwn ydyn asyn ta agus na dyn a lig a hagan chugan agus gyd i colis i sawri ele yn eir yn asmerica sy'n siapan hele hir ffod yn dôn a chacwyd i atri mwyr agus Gael agus Bejesi Ocrasan yn nes yn o'r bwysiata Ianu ag Harald de Canada. Gwael gyda i at wysyn, bydd y Saudi a fi ocrwyd sy'n nyr hwch ysyn onyd sy'n bwysiad abdw gael o'r sir yn sy'n ta nos fyr o'ch sy'n America dyl o'r campel agos y dyl y mach gyda i at yn yma sy'n agos eir eich o gael nes yn eich cest fi sy'n.
Kuit den Tosha Ethanol van de Shaw is aan Pabble Hanko Kniva, het hoort fijn op de Scone Malpa in Canada. In Shaw in Kingston, in Gartlaw, Chanter, Rioca, Ontario, de Gachnieke Holton de Heden naar Falk op Vloershock. Veel geelig het hoort Bonnen de Heden in Shaw, keken we het je op de meeste mielen.
This was more of a hail and cure. Let's encourage the pog. It's rather than see a sheer sagas a shin important shakas, cora, jam, and more hampler. It's not great cultists and shaw, the gangstin, toss session with on, why, a cure on, jack, gaki, worse. So, talking to the kale and shin. I guess more shoe all the forek is piberame. So, a shinamir and more shoe, I guess, shaw on top of it.
Gné lánach an airochtú de sein tanga. Bunnu yw comin a gaeltocht ar rimpli an tochin, leis an aim a gaeltocht vio a lunu i Ganada. Y rovil is a sé chan a siud sýb Shaska Acra, gargu Tamworth, Ontario, ar chostas 43 mili euro. Ní lán go fóil ach Park War Olive, ach ní fádu go glosh for sean hangon an gael a lars go lífa an, ma hagon an túr fwy haringroch darals.
A gwini uisle, chorin sé anna áhazar an bheith a bhur mask an seoch ranona, thar mei fyr vwig dív as ocht an quain cura. Lá starul awam in you, os rodeig an usclítar an caid gaeltocht las mit erin, gaeltocht walia na heran an seoch in erin dhish.
Bekam sa tauki, gamai forbrich mór janta, erin sív seoch, my an inid cultura on be quig hockey in jag salahar and shaw urs malan yawerlan dinig chak dinion gak shakden den vlian agus kursi sa sauri lahaig pasti dini sawan dinig immerch imaniach agus pel snaparkana agus gamai on dara agriacht agen Cumann shellavori na gaeltachta ag canach sívana cosú leis e conte ella I Ganada agus na stáitinte.
You are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cummerton, and we'll be back with you shortly.
The little Irish village in the heart of the Byward Market had its humble beginnings in 1992 with the now famous Heart and Crown, a second venue, the Snug Pub, since 1997. And then there's Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, Black Rose, since 2001. They complete the Irish village, each a treasure in its own way. Visit the Irish village. We can accommodate groups of all sizes, private seating areas, spacious patios, and party rooms. Tell us about your special event and we will take care of the rest. 613-562-0674.
The Adelaide is a distinctive one- and two-bedroom rental apartment complex located at Preston Square. The Adelaide is exactly where you want to be, close to downtown, easy access to the Queensway and just a short journey to the airport. A short walk from Dowes Lake and the experimental farm, you can experience rural living in the heart of the city. The Adelaide is a smart building incorporating state-of-the-art security and environmental systems. Call for an appointment, weekday, nighttime and weekend viewings. 613-230-1500.
Coming soon to Chin Radio, traffic and weather updates. Get informed and keep informed with what you need to know before you step out the door and head out to face the world. Weather, traffic, and so much more. It's all at your fingertips on Chin Radio 97.9.
Don't forget, if you'd like a pair of tickets for the performance of Drum at the National Arts Centre on the 6th of February, send me an email, austin@thegaelichour.ca, and Mary will announce the winners tomorrow night. And she will also have tickets to give away then, in addition to tickets for Wednesday evening at Dancing at Lunasa at the Ottawa Little Theatre. So tune in tomorrow night.
I will sing you a song of my island by the edge of the great western sea. For while others may fling to their lowland or highland, my island's a jewel to me. I've wandered the green hills of Scotland and fondly their beauty recall.
Here on Chin 97.9 FM, and radio is something that is very much a fun thing to do. And recently, when I was down in Washington, I linked up with Pat Troy, and Pat is from Kilcarmuck in County Offaly, and he's a publican and a radio show host. Pat Troy, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Austin, it's a pleasure to be on your show, going out there into all of your listeners up there.
And you've been on the air for 34 years.
As a matter of fact, I'm going into 36.
Oh, okay, I'm looking at the website here. 36 years, good for you. So, if you're in radio for 36 years, tell us a bit about yourself. You're from Kilcarmuck.
Well, I came out here from Kilcarmuck in 1962. I was trained as a butler in the famous Burgh Castle, and that's in County Offaly, and that's where Princess Margaret came on her honeymoon because she married Tony Armstrong Jones, whose mother was the Countess of Ross, who lived in the castle, a very famous castle. All of the great people of the world came there, the Rothschilds of France, the Aga Khan, the Bowes Lines family, Princess Margaret, you name it. Then I came to this country, and I began butlering here in this country, and worked for all of the famous presidents, including I knew Jack Kennedy very well. I did dinners for his brother out at McLean, and John Foster Dulles, Charles Lindbergh, you know, you name them. I waited on them, and I guess the biggest highlight of my life was in 1988 when President Reagan came to my pub and spent an hour with me, because I met him about 9 different times.
So, Pat, given that back in the 60s when you emigrated, how were things like, or what was the scenario down around Offaly at that time?
Well, in the 60s when I left, very few people were coming to America. First of all, you couldn't afford it. Times were very, very bad in Ireland then. Of course, I was brought up and raised on a farm just up the street in the 50s, and it was very hard to get out, and I just happened to be lucky. I met a lady from Detroit who said, "Would you like to come to America?" And I said, "Yes, but first of all, someone has to claim you out, be responsible for you, and all of that." And I was very lucky, and that's how I got started. But way back in the 50s and into the 60s, times were very, very bad and rough in Ireland. It was surviving, but we were happy, and we went along with what we had.
Of course, Kilcarmuck would have benefited a little at that time from Bordnamona, or was Bordnamona generating revenue that was beneficial to the area at that stage?
Well, Bord na Mona saved our lives in the Midlands and in Kilcarmuck and then Burr and the Tullamore area, because of all the work for the bringing in the peat for the power station and making the briquettes for the fires and everything. And it employed, that was the only employer in the area, Bord na Mona, and they saved a lot of people's, the houses were built in Kilcarmuck to keep the employees and give them homes to live in, and they were just great people.
So, Pat, how many of you were in your family?
Well, there's 3 brothers.
And were you the only one to emigrate, or did the others stay behind?
The other 2 went to England.
Right.
Michael and Desmond.
Right.
So they're over there, and I emigrated to America.
So you say you came over in the 60s, and you picked up your trade that you had trained in Ireland. And gradually, did you go to Detroit originally?
Came to Detroit and stayed about a month. I came and worked as a butler on Grosse Pointe, for a man by the name of Ray White. He was one of the owners of the Detroit Lions football team, and also he was also very much involved. He was the man that brought in all the Fiat cars into the United States.
Okay.
And I was going to... The lady that brought me out was a great friend of the Fisher Body, so they're the big General Motor people, and I met them so many different times. Great people.
So were you married before you came, or did you...
No, I met my wife here.
Right.
She's from Kenmare in County Kerry. Her maiden name was O'Neill.
Okay.
And we went back and got married in Ireland in 1965. We met here at an Irish-American club.
Okay. And at that time in the 60s and late 60s, 70s, was the Irish community cohesive and active, and was there that going on?
It was a great time, the best times of our lives, because... We were togetherness, and there were parties were held in people's houses. Every Saturday night, we went to a different person's house, and there was food there, and everybody sang, and everybody done a dance, and everybody done a recitation, old and young. And the Irish way back then were marvelous people. They kept us together, they cared for us, they looked out for us, but it's a different generation now.
And, of course, well, everything has changed in the entertainment and how people... everyone is better off now.
Oh, well. Yes.
Yeah. So you got into radio then 36 years ago, which... How did you manage to do that?
Well, a friend of mine, Pete Butler, Dublin man, had a radio show and he was giving it up.
Okay.
And he also had a store called the Irish Walk. And he says, do you want to buy the Irish Walk? And he says, if you'd like to take over the radio show. And I said, sure. So we took over the Irish Walk, and the radio station was first, and then we bought the Irish Walk, an Irish import store.
And you import goods directly from Ireland?
Everything. You'll get more in my place than you will in Dublin or Shannon Airport.
Right. So, and over the years, when you took it over, what were you broadcasting? 1 hour, 2 hours, or what?
It started out with an hour, then it went to an hour and a half, then 2 hours, and then down now to an hour, because way back then, you know, I must have been at five or six different radio stations. But the one now is pretty powerful, and we're on the web, and we go all over the world.
Okay, and we'll talk about that a little later on. But, Pat, let's take a musical interlude, and if there was a piece of music that you were to select that you'd like to hear that kind of reflected on that time, what might it be?
Well, I think my favorite song of all times was sung by my uncle to me when I left to come out here in 1962, and I'll never forget it. I've never forgotten the song. And this, I think, can reflect to all of us that come from whatever country in the world you come from, as you leave your country to come to this great country of America. And that will be Johnny McAvoy, a county man of mine from Banagher in County Offaly, singing Shores of America.
And we're going to listen to Johnny McAvoy on the Shores of America. You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cummerton, and we will be back with you in a moment.
I'm bidding farewell to the land of my youth and the homes I love so well, and the mountains grand of my own native land. I'm bidding them all farewell. With an aching heart I'll bid them adieu, for tomorrow I sail far away o'er the raging foam, for to seek a home on the shores of America. It's not for the want of employment I'm gone, it's not for the love of fame, that fortune bright may shine over me and give me a glorious name. It's not for the want of employment I'm going on this weary and stormy sea, but to seek a home for my own true love on the shores of America. Bidding my last farewell, the tears like rain will blind, to think of my friends in my own native land and the home I'm leaving behind. But if I'm to die on a foreign land and be buried so far, far away, no fun mother's tears will be shed o'er my grave on the shores of America.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron, and we're talking to Pat Troy. And Pat is from Kilcormac in County Offaly, but has been out in the US and is the owner of Pat Troy's Irish Ireland's Own in Alexandria, which is a pub down there. And he also owns the Irish Walk and broadcasts in the Washington area for the last 36 years, going on 36 years. Pat, what is the frequency and what station are you on down there?
It's www.wust1120.com. And right, you can go into the archives and you can watch it on the cam every Sunday. Here in America, it's 10:30 to 11:30, and I don't know if there's a difference in the time up in where you are.
No, we're in the same time zone. Yeah, we're in the same zone.
And you can click on any time and go into last week's show.
So you're actually video as well as audio down there.
That's right.
That's very, very daring.
They watch me in living color every Sunday.
Because I always look at it. I have a great face for radio.
Well, Austin, I was just with the last song. It's a short song, but when you listen to it, I'm bidding farewell to the land of my youth. And then if I'm to die in a foreign land, you know, it brings back everything to us. And I hope that the people enjoy that song.
So you must find, as I find, that radio connects you with an awful lot of people, that you get people that will either phone in, or you get to interview people that you may not have normally got the opportunity to talk
to. Yes.
So over the 35 years, 36 years, what are the highlights that you'd...
Well, some of the great people was way back, Frank Aitken I had on the show. I had Jack Lynch on the show. I had Maureen O'Hara, and that was a great highlight because I met her and had dinner with her when she was the Grand Marshal in the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade. So there's all of the different ambassadors that were here in Washington and all of the different things that radio means so much to our communities, and especially going back when our emigrants needed so much help years ago and getting visas, and it's the only way of communicating, and that I'm the only radio show here in this area.
And then, as the format now, of course, it gives you the opportunity as well to keep the Irish music very much alive to your audience.
It is.
And the different acts, and to have both the historical, the traditional, as well as the newer acts.
Well, this is it, and you know, we collect all these pieces of music down through the years, and so many of them come to my place, Tony Kenny and Noel V. Ginnity and Hal Roach and, you know, the great Andy Cooney, you name it, all the great entertainers have come to my restaurant, and I have all of their stuff, and I've interviewed all of them on the radio, and it's our heritage, and it's something special for these people, and we in radio contribute so much and we work so hard at it, and it's very hard to keep it going because people got to realize we have to buy this time, and then in return you have to try and get sponsors. But I'm sorry to say, here in the nation's capital, Virginia and Maryland, we cannot get the Irish to be part of it. Austin, I don't know about you up there, but I would say that the Irish, we the Irish people, are the most jealous ethnic group in the United States of America, that do not like to see you getting ahead, and they'll do anything to pull you down. And that's a shame. It's a shame. It's a trait. And I'm writing a book and getting into it, and, you know, being over 40 years in this country, I can tell it the way it is.
So even after the amount of time that you've been there and with all the connections you have, and I notice as well that you're the parade chairman for the Ballyshannon's, the St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee down around there. So you're obviously plugged into the community and well connected, and you're finding that even after 35 years it's a struggle to keep the radio, financial struggle, putting a radio program on air.
Well, Well, this is it. And all that you need is a few of them to have animosity. We have the, believe it or not, maybe one of the largest Irish-American communities down here. Years ago, there was three or four pubs. There's now 35 yeah. Irish pubs.
Right.
35 in the Washington, D.C. area. Do you think that they would give you a little ad to put on and announce who's playing in their place? No.
Right.
Because they feel like we don't need it. We don't want the people, that the older people or anyone else out there to hear anything of Irish music or news from Ireland coming out over here. I did have an hour and a half up to about 6 months ago, and I had to cut off a half an hour because it costs so much money. And it's the people out there now that I'm relying on, it's called, what we call boosters, that will send in a contribution to help you keep the show on the air. As a matter of fact, this Sunday I'm having one for the next 6 months. And it takes a lot of money. It's over $400 for an hour for me to do a radio show.
Yeah. Well, I know I used to broadcast on Saturday and Sundays at 1 p.m., and I had to give that up and move to Monday and Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. because I just couldn't afford to continue financing the Saturday and Sunday. And I'm very fortunate that I have the Irish Village with a group of pubs that have continued to be a solid supporter, the Heart and Crown. And that's two guys, one from County Galway and one from Tyrone.
But this is it, and you cannot say enough for these people for supporting you and keeping the music and the news and the information of Ireland and what's going on in your community up there. And if it wasn't for these sponsors, Austin, you wouldn't be doing this show.
God, no. No, like it's... And even at that, you know and I know, like, you put the hours you put in, and that's for the... It's just so satisfying and enjoyable that to have to try and come up with the dollars to pay the radio station then makes... It's just... It's more work.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the parade, you were mentioning about the parade. Yes, I started that 27 years ago, and our parade in America is the first in the nation. It's Saturday, March the 1st. And if anyone wants to check into our website, it's Ballyshanners, BallyShanners.org. And this year, our Grand Marshal is Archbishop O'Brien, who was the newly installed Archbishop of Baltimore and Maryland, and that was the first archdiocese in the United States, Catholic first archdiocese, which was founded by John Carroll, a man, of course, the O'Carrolls all came from Offaly. And it's a fabulous parade, about 2 hours down King Street, and the month of March is Irish-American Heritage Month. And in Alexandria, if you come here for the whole month of March into the first week of April, you'll see 49 Irish tricolour flags flying along the street for over a month. You won't get that anywhere else in the United States of America. So the city have gone out of their way to cooperate and help with our Irishness. And this is a big Scottish town here, Alexandria.
Yeah, well, of course, we're very lucky as well because we have our Patrick's Day Parade and ours is going to be on the 15th of March. And it has been going now for a long number of years and gets a tremendous turnout. And then we have a large party afterwards over at Lansdowne Park here.
Sure.
Where it is hours of festivities where people get to get indoors and sit around stages and enjoy the festivities. And that is, as I said, the Patrick's Day Parade. It starts at 11 p.m. or 11 a.m. on the 15th of March, and that's on the Laurier Bridge, works its way down to Bank Street to Lansdowne, where the festivities get underway around 1 p.m. For 3 or 4 hours. Pat, we'll take another musical interlude. Have you another piece of music you'd like me to play?
Well, I guess one of my great friends is Pete St. John. And he's written many great plays, songs like the Dublin and the Rare Old Times, so many. But I think the greatest song of all that he ever put to words that brings back to us and to the generations before was about that terrible, in the 1840s, 1845, the Great Famine. And that would be the Fields of Aton Rye would be one of my favourites. And, of course, my great friend Paddy Riley, if you have it, I'd love to hear him singing it.
This is Paddy Riley and Fields of Aton Rye.
By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl calling, "Michael, they have taken you away." for your soul's rebellion's corn. So be young, might see the morn. Now a prison ship lies waiting in the bay. Low lie the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young man calling. Nothing matters, Mary, when you're free. Against the famine and the crown, I rebel, they cut me down. Now you must raise our child with dignity. Low lie the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. By a lonely harbor wall, she watched the last star falling. As the prison ship sailed out against the sky, for she'll live in hope and pray, for her love in Botany Bay. It's so lonely around the fields of Athenry. Once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. Been so lonely round the fields of Athenry.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron, and I'm talking to Pat Troy. And Pat is the owner of Ireland's Own, and it's a pub down in Alexandria, and also the host of the Irish Show, which is broadcast every Sunday between 10:30 and 11:30 a.m. and that is on WUST. Which, and the website there is, it's WUST 1120 on the AM band, and it's www.wust1120.com. And he's brave enough to actually do a webcam when he's broadcast. But, Pat, you've been broadcasting, as you say, 35 going on 36 years, and you've been in the pub business as well. You're at a stage where I think you're probably, are you ready to hang up your taps?
Well, I am. Not so much anything else. I'm very much involved in our city and our community and our people and on issues and things like that. God gave me something very special and gave us, just like you. People have asked me, Pat, did you ever kiss the Blarney Stone? And I'll say, no, I swallowed it. So God gave us the gift of the gab, and it has been great. And, you know, we're just talking about the restaurant. It's dedicated to the armed services. The signs, the uniforms are in there to all these men and women. It's something that I'm passionate on. And to all of the people that serve in law enforcement, I have a wall in the restaurant, and there's many of them, patches from Canada there, and also the fire and rescues, to the doctors and nurses and school teachers. This is, to me, is what made America, and it reflects in my restaurant. And, of course, in 88, when President Ronald Reagan came and spent an hour, was has to be the greatest highlight of my life. He was a great friend of mine. I went to the opening of his library in Semi Valley. I went to, just recently, out to the launching of Air Force One. I also went down to when he launched his aircraft carrier to Ronald Reagan. Anything to do with President Ronald Reagan means an awful lot.
You also have been able to get the family involved in all aspects of the business. I know your daughter shares the hour with you on radio.
That's right. And my son Patrick, years ago, I had him out doing the radio with me when he was about 7 years of age. And then Kathleen got into it, and she does half an hour of the traditional music. She's very much involved in it, knows all the groups, and it's a great help. And it takes an awful load off me, and then she's the general manager of the restaurant as well.
Right, right.
And, of course, I called it after the famous magazine, and I know a lot of the Irish people listening to you out there have heard of that great magazine, Ireland's Own.
Yes.
It's printed in Carlo, and it's one of the great magazines, and it's still in existence. I don't know, it must be out about a couple of hundred years.
Well, Pat, thanks a million for taking the time to talk to me, and next time I get down to Alexandria, I know I'll be dropping into you.
Okay, Austin, it was a pleasure, and good luck to the show, and the people out there, please help support this show, because it's the only one coming out like this, and a good man like Austin, and I know you have another co-host as well, don't you?
My wife looks after things. Mary sits in for me on a lot of Tuesday nights. If I happen to have other engagements, Mary enjoys doing the music program, and in fact, Mary will be here tomorrow night presenting the music. I have other commitments tomorrow evening, so Mary is taking the chair. And she, when she's on, she loves to get phone calls, and she loves people to call in. And actually, one of the great things on tomorrow night, Mary will have some tickets to give away to Ottawa Little Theatre, Dancing at Lunasa.
Oh.
That production is going on at the moment. And she also has some tickets to give away to Drum. And Drum is the four cultural musical presentation that is down at the National Arts Centre on the 6th and 7th of February, and the tickets that Mary will have to give away tomorrow night are for the 6th of February. So do tune in between 10 and 11 here on Chin 97.9 FM, and you might be lucky to get to Dancing at Lunasa on Wednesday night or down to Drum on the 6th of February. Pat Troy, thanks a million for taking the time to spend some time on the Gaelic Hour.
Thank you, Austin, and happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody.
And to you.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM.
We've come to the end of another program here on the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron. Thank you for taking the time, and I hope you enjoy the program. And again, don't forget, send me an email if you want a pair of tickets for Drum. It's austin@thegaelichour.ca, or if you want requests or anything else. And Mary will have tickets also to give away tomorrow night, as well as tickets for Wednesday evening's performance of the Ottawa Little Theatre production of Dancing at Lunasa. This program will be available on the internet later on in the week, and you can catch all the programs up there in the archive section. And we are now podcasting, so it's www.thegaelichour.ca. And we have the calendar up there with all the events. And I'd like to again thank the Irish Village for the continued support of this program and the Sackler Corporation. Do come back tomorrow evening. Join Mary here on the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM. And thank you, Max, on the other side of the glass. So until I'm back with you on Monday next, this is Austin Cameron saying, so long before.